few weeks ago, we were reading a book, and it was a testimony of a girl that, a young teenage girl that had depression and some real struggles in her life, and she tried to commit suicide, and she laid down on the train tracks. And a train severed her legs from her body. But she lived. She lived through the process. And after she had gone through all the rehabilitation and the surgeries to try to spare her life and save her, she went to church one Sunday. And she had been brought up in church, which was, I don't know, it was pretty shocking to, anyway, a lady that they'd never seen before, a lot of people had expressed sympathy to this young lady, and, but one lady that they'd never seen before told her, said, "I'm thankful you didn't die because you would be lost." And that was contrary to what her mom had been telling her all along. And it started her to thinking and questioning, where would she have been if she would have died? And she started questioning that. And I was thinking about the truth this morning, and truth, that lady spoke the truth to her. Truth is not always easy to receive. Truth is sometimes difficult to, especially when it's the truth about us, concerning us. Sometimes it's hard to face the truth, and many times people in life don't ever like to face the truth. And some people develop a mentality that the problem is always somewhere else. It was on the way mom and dad raised me, or it was the boss on the job, or it was their circumstances. And they spend their entire life blaming other people and other circumstances instead of accepting the responsibility and the truth of where they're at in life. And I remember when the Lord started dealing with my heart, I had a dream. It was the summer, my 18th year, just graduated out of high school. And I had a dream one night that the Lord was coming back, and I wasn't ready to meet him. And it was a it was an eye opener. It was the truth. I wasn't ready. I had things in my life that I was ashamed of. I was doing, and I was involved in things that I shouldn't have been involved with. But I'm thankful that God gave me that dream. Even though it hurt, even though it exposed my condition, I was able to be able to find the Lord through that, because I began praying and I began reading the Bible and searching the Scriptures. And I began praying. And I began laying aside things that I knew was wrong. The Lord has a way of bringing truth to us. And we want to have a heart that's willing and open, even though truth is, and don't we want that? I mean, in our lives, wouldn't you rather have somebody to tell you the truth than to just say, "Oh, you're okay, everything's fine"? I'd rather someone say, "Bob, you've got some mustard on your face and need to clean up a little bit," than just ignore it, and then I go out with all this mustard on my face. But spiritually, we want to know the truth. We want to have a love for the truth. even though it hurts. Sometimes the truth can be like hitting a ton of bricks, a wall. We didn't recognize, we didn't know, and it's like it just hits us. I want to get a verse in the book of Isaiah, the 59th chapter, and the first verse. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear you. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for the truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity." I want to drop on down to verse 13 now. He said, "In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, that there was no judgment." Now he mentioned, he said, truth has fallen in the streets. Now I'm going to say, I believe that truth is going to stand forever. Truth was before this world came into existence. And it will be in existence when this world passes away. The scripture says, "My word shall not pass away. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will not pass away." So truth is something that we have to reckon with in our lives, that we have to deal with. We have laws, the laws of nature that we see, the laws of gravity that we as humans recognize. Different laws of nature that God has set in motion. And we follow, when we recognize those laws and we plan for those laws and we observe those laws and we recognize those laws, then things are better for us. We recognize the natural law that God has given to us. But there's also spiritual laws that God has given. There's moral laws that God has set in place. Now, if I would go out and jump out of a 20-story building, there's probably a 100% chance, probability, that I would be seriously injured or die. So I don't want to do that. I observe, I recognize the laws of gravity that God has set in place. And I would fall, and I'd be seriously injured. There are laws, that spiritual laws and moral laws that God has put in place, that when I fail to recognize those laws and I fail to observe those laws, there's consequences that I face. There's things that will come from the result of not observing those laws. And it happens in all cultures, in all places, in all standards. And just because the laws of the land condone it or sanction it doesn't mean that I'll not pay a consequence when I violate what God has established and what He's put in place. And I want to say, I didn't establish this. I didn't put this in place. This is not, the Bible is not something that man has concocted. It was given by God through inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's there, and we as people, we have to reckon with the truth of God's Word. And we want to have a love for the truth. We want to desire the truth. We want to know the truth. Yes. You know, Pilate, one place, he asked Jesus, he said, "What is truth?" Truth was standing right before him. And he said, "What is truth?" But you know, that is what the place that our culture is in now. The culture, our culture, they don't recognize truth anymore. Truth has fallen in the streets. It's like the effect of truth, when people disregard it and they override it. It's like truth is falling in the streets. Its power is, you know, people are going their own direction and doing their own thing. He said, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. You know, there are no absolutes. That's what our world is saying to us. It's all relative. It's how you look at it. It's how you perceive it. It depends upon your circumstances. But I want to say God has set some lines. He set some truth. He set some boundaries up. And it hasn't changed. And cultures change, and laws change, but God's truth has not changed. It will be the same today, and we'll meet it at the end of our life. You know, there in Revelations, when he said, talked about the end of time, and he said the books were open, and we were judged out of those books. That was the truth. We're going to be judged how we lived our life according to what God has given us in the book. The truth that is contained in the Word of God, we're going to be responsible for that truth. And Lord, help us to have a desire in our hearts, even though the truth will hurt. It's only temporary. The truth, sometimes when we to acknowledge the truth of who we are and where we're at and our place and our condition, it's difficult sometimes to grapple. It's difficult to say, I was wrong. It's hard for human nature to acknowledge guilt and to recognize that I've sinned. The natural tendency for us is to cover, to hide our sins, to cover over them. That's human nature. There's another verse in the Scripture. It talks about in the Proverbs. It says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You know, we can't go by our own human intellect, by just what looks right to us. It's got to be something more than that. Because we all have things that we perceive to be right and wrong. And there's another verse that said, every man's way is right in his own eyes. And we've got to have more than that to save us and to help us in life. We've got to have the truth. We have to have the Spirit of truth living in our hearts and guiding and directing us into the truth. There is a truth today in our day and time. God still has truth. There's still right and wrong. There's still moral standards that God has given. Even though much in our society, in our culture, it looks like truth has fallen in the streets, we're still going to be accountable to it. And we're going to still have to, and there's still consequences that come. I wanted to get a verse in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, the first chapter. I wanted to read a few verses here. It says, wisdom cries without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates, in the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. Now, folks, I don't believe this is talking about God, but it's talking about the truth of God's Word. God doesn't laugh when people's calamity comes. But what this verse is saying is that we're going to answer to the truth. And there's consequences come to our lives. There's consequences that we meet and we'll partake of when we fail to acknowledge the truth and accept the truth and believe in the truth, there's consequences that come from that. That's what the Scripture is teaching. It will laugh at us. It will, in the last end, it will, you know, I told you so. And we have, he's saying the cry here. He said, wisdom cries out in the streets. Look around you today of people in their lives, the directions they've gone, the way they've conducted themselves, the way they live their lives. And wisdom cries. Don't go in the same thing. I mean, it. Don't go the same way. You see the person, you see the way they've lived, and you see the hardship that they've gone through. Why do it like they did it? Do it different. Because we're gonna eat the same thing. We'll partake. We go that way, we'll taste the same thing. There's the laws of God are real today. The spiritual and moral laws that God has put in place, they're just as real as the laws of nature that are round about us. The laws of science that we understand and know. Moral law is the same way. Spiritual law is the same way. And he's saying, don't go that way. The first Proverbs, it talks about the way of evil men. Don't go in the way of evil men. Don't be a partaker. Keep yourself at a distance. Be on your guard. Live carefully, watchfully. Because if you go, if you allow that influence to begin to work in your heart, and that's what he encouraged them down in verse 15 in chapter 1. He said, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Be careful how you live your lives. I believe the Bible teaches that. It teaches a carefulness to us. There's one place that said, talked about godly sorrow and repentance. It said, what carefulness it wrought in you. What vehemence, what desire that you had. You remember when you first got saved? You remember the desire that you had for truth? Oh, I remember when I got saved, all I wanted to do was go to service. I wanted to hear what the Lord had, this, my desire, my heart. That's where my heart was. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to hear the preaching of the Word. I wanted to hear the songs. You remember that desire, that carefulness. Oh, you were willing to lay aside things that were wrong. God wants us to have that carefulness in our lives. He wants us, I believe the Bible teaches that, carefulness. That godly sorrow worked in our hearts and lives. He wants us to maintain that. But on down in verse Proverbs, the first chapter, he said in verse 29, it says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know, there was a testimony. I remember someone saying years ago, this testimony, they testified. Maybe Brother Cliff remembers who it was. But they said if the Lord handed you the Bible and they said, you could make any change to this that you'd want to make, what would you change about the Bible? Brother George Wynn. And his testimony was, he said, I would hand the book back and I would say, the book is perfect like it is. Just change me to fit the book. That's the desire that we want to have. Not to fit God into our ways. Not to fit God into our plans and our path. Lord, I want you to change me. I want my life to read like the book. When I get to the end of the way, it's truth. It's not going to be what people thought of us. It's not going to be just what we were on Sunday. It's going to be how we lived our lives on a daily basis. How we conducted ourselves. How we lived before God and our fellow man. That's going to be all open before God. Lord, help us today. Change me. Sometimes it's hard to change. Change is difficult sometimes. It's hard to change. We get stuck in our ways of thinking, in our patterns, the way we do things, the way that we respond to pressures of life and difficulties. We get habits formed. They're hard to change. But Lord, help us to have a desire. Please change me. We can change. I believe the Bible brings that out. It supports that. We can change. One scripture talks about being transformed into the image of Christ. We can grow in grace. We can continue to become more like God as we live our lives. And that's what we need this morning. You know, the word of the Lord, it's not to make our life difficult. It's not to make life hard. It's to spare us. The author, the creator, the truth, the word was established before man ever came on the scene. He knew, when you talk about, when you read there, it was before man. God had the lines. He gave man a choice. He gave him the opportunity to choose between good and evil. But he set the parameters in place. And he's the creator, and he knows better than we do. We need to believe in him and trust in him. And I've seen people that have lived for God and gave their hearts and lives to God, that denied themselves, that stayed separate from the world, that kept a distance between them and the world. And I've seen good fruit come from that. And I've also seen people get too close to the world. And I've seen the consequences. I'm going to tell you something that I've learned in life. Once you open the door to temptation, it's so easy to open. But it's very, very, very difficult to get it shut once it's opened. The consequences come. You know, it's so easy for us to make a choice and decision to be turned in a certain direction, and we can just do it so quickly. And yet the consequences are so far-reaching. They go beyond what we're able to comprehend. And they affect not only our lives, but the lives of those around about us. For good, for bad. Help us to have a love for the truth. I want to get another verse now in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And 10th verse, he says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This is pretty sobering to me, these texts of Scripture. We can be deceived. We can deceive ourselves. And I want to tell us this morning, it's not the intellect that perceives truth. It's where our heart and our affections are at. He mentions here, he says, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They took pleasure in things that were not right. They had pleasure in things. They had things that they were unwilling to give up that were not right. And it brings deception. Another place Jesus said, walk in the light. In other words, walk in truth while you have truth, lest darkness come upon you. See, our heart must be in the place of loving. We want to love the truth. We want to have a desire towards the truth. We want to pray that God would help us to see and to know the truth about ourselves and our relationship with God and where we're at with God. We need to know that. We want to know where we're at in our relationship with God. We don't want to spend our entire life guessing and wondering and just hoping it will all work out. But we want to strive for the truth and to have that relationship with God that He can reveal truth to our hearts of where we're at and where our need is at. But it said that they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And it was all because they accepted something in their lives that was less than what God had designed. And it brought deception into their hearts and lives. And it will do the same thing for us. There's another verse, 2 Timothy, the second chapter. I feel challenged in this message. We have to be willing to tell people the truth. You know, we don't want to offend people. I don't want to hurt people. It's not my desire. It's not my intention. But I want to say the truth hurts. The truth itself hurts. It crosses our flesh. It crosses our grain. And we must be willing to share the truth. People need the truth. They need to hear. If they're not right with God, they need a little bit of truth to help them, to help wake them up, to help them to see their need. Just like that one girl, that lady spoke to her at church and she said, I'm so thankful that you didn't die. You would have been lost. That truth began working, and that's what saved her. That's what brought her to the knowledge of her need. The scripture in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The 25th verse. It said, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. That's how repentance comes, is when we're brought face to face with the truth, the acknowledgement. This is where I'm at. This is me. It says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You remember the time in David's life when he sinned? When he should have been out in battle with his fellow soldiers and men, it said that he stayed back. And one evening he was walking on the top there of the roof, and he looked over and he saw Bathsheba. And he was drawn to her, and he was tempted, and he was enticed, and he fell. And what did David do? He covered over his sin. He covered over his wrong. And the Scripture doesn't say how long a time that happened. when David had sinned and when he began to cover over, but he did things that were, you know, one sin will lead to another. You sin one place, many times it leads to something else. You have to cover over this and cover over that. And there are things that people are hiding in their lives that they're not disclosing, that they don't want people to know about. And that's keeping them from the truth. That's keeping them from being able to perceive the truth. The truth doesn't come through our human intellect. It does. It comes through our mind. But it's also through the heart, the affections of man, where his heart and his affections are at. And if our heart is in the right place, God can reveal truth to us. But if our heart is not in the right place, if it's following after unrighteousness, then we'll not see the truth. We'll not know the truth. And we'll be deceived. That's how deception comes. Think about Nathan for a moment. How do you think Nathan felt? God revealed to Nathan the truth of David's situation. And he told him that you go talk to him. You go speak to him. Think that took some courage? I believe it did. I believe it took a lot of courage. But he went to David. And you remember the story that he told David about the man that took that man's little sheep? Oh, David got so mad and upset. He was ready to send judgment down. Man that does that needs to die. Nathan said, "Thou art the man. You're the man. It's you." You know, David accepted that. He acknowledged the truth. You read the 51st chapter of Psalm, and it's a psalm of deep contrition and sorrow because he failed. He sinned against God, and he acknowledged. And you know what? David's life was able to recover. The truth saved him. I think about what would have happened to David if the prophet wouldn't have went to him. And he continued on and on down his journey, hiding here and hiding there. But he acknowledged the truth. And God was able to restore him back in his life. And he's able to do the same thing to us also when we recognize and acknowledge the truth of God's Word. Lord, help us today. I wanted to get another verse in the book of John that brings up this point. John, the third chapter, Gospel of John, verse 19, it said, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." You know, generally speaking, people don't like truth. They don't like to hear their responsibility. don't like to hear about sin and unrighteousness. And many people don't go to services because of that. But this verse here, he said, "Everyone that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest." He that does truth. You know, there's a scripture where Jesus talked about, "He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Lord, help us today to come to light, truth, to knowledge. When it crosses my flesh. I've been reading also a book. It's called "Will the Real Heretics Please Stand Up?" And it's writings and teachings that have come from the early morning church. They were disciples of the Apostle John. Clement is mentioned. Different names are mentioned that were contemporary. Polycarp. And it's some of the things that they held and taught. And this man that wrote this book has had an eye-opener. He's beginning to recognize how far modern Christianity has drifted away from what the early morning church taught. And if you ever chance to read that book, I'd recommend reading that book. It is really a good book. Have you heard the saying, a man's morality determines his theology? That's what I'm trying to bring out this morning. The issue is in the heart of man. It's not just the intellect. It's not just in the brain. A man's morality determines his theology. And the longer that I've lived, the more I've seen that to be true. And Lord, help us today to have a love for truth, a love for righteousness, a love for God, living in the fear of God all of our lives, all of our days, that will bless us and help us. And it will save us from a lot of heartache and trouble and difficulty. I appreciate your attention this morning. Pray for me. I want to be faithful to God.